You are listening to Hoisting the Sail, a supply chain podcast. From our new studio on Governor's Island, overlooking New York Harbor, we talk to the innovators and professionals who use the wind to power the maritime supply chain. I'm your host, Kat Bride. Hoisting the Sail is presented by Wind Support NYC. We are really looking forward to today's conversation. We have two gentlemen who are men on the move, and they are joining us from across the Atlantic Ocean today. We have François Gabart, that many of our listeners will know as a professional sailor, many accolades, too many to count, but we can start with a victory on the Vendée Globe in 2012 at just 29 years old. And we can talk about the Transat and the bridge and the Route de Rome and a lot of mileage this guy's got. And he's still a young man. Terrific partner and professional, Michael Fernandez-Ferry. I'd like to introduce both of them to the show. François is here in the capacity of being a founder of Mer Concept and a co-founder of Vela Transport. He's joining us on the line from Concarneau. And Michael is joining us from Paris. He is also a co-founder of Vela Transport and acts as the managing director. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Very excited to be here.
Well, we have been waiting for you. You're not easy to catch. But part of why we wanted to have you on the show today is a lot of our listeners will know we've had a lot of great cargo sail transport companies trying to be greener, trying to be zero emissions, and Grand Sail, Tote, Neoline, Zephyrine Bore, Sail Cargo. You guys have similar ambitions, but you're going about it in a very unique way. You are trying to create an uncompromising, performance-oriented, 100% wind-powered shipping service. Part of what is very intriguing about the entire concept and the project and the startup is the pedigree of François on board. We want to know about the beginnings of Vela Transport and leaving what you do as what you love is sailing around the world and being the fastest one at it. But now you're at a desk and looking at computers. Tell us about the transition there.
You have to understand, talking about my job as a sailor and a competitor is, of course, there is this part where I'm on a boat and sailing, but big part of my job is also behind a computer or with a team, trying to have a project, to sell it to a sponsor, then to build a team around you and conceive and build a boat, optimize the boat. And all of this stuff is done on ground. I don't think it's so different about what I'm doing now with Vela. Having a dream, having a vision, which is doing transport freight 100% with using the wind and sails and trying to make it come true. I share this vision with a few guys that I met last year, and it starts with Vela.
Michael, before you answer us, I'd like to ask you, François, of course, you've worked with a team, but even in your own career, you have seen the design of vessels change enormously. Is what you're doing with Vela part of advancing more of that change to make more efficient vessels now?
Yeah, at least what I believe the transfer that we could do from offshore sailing to maritime mobility, and which is, yes, to use what we have learned in the last, or for me at least, I will say in the last 15 years, but with offshore sailing in the last 50 years, and trying to use it in the best way to make a new boat, 100% sailing boats to carry freight, and which is not easy to do, but I strongly believe that all innovation coming from the racing could be used in this new challenge of carrying things from one part of the world to another part of the world.
Mm. Now, Michael, you're an engineer by training, and you turned into an impact entrepreneur. You have 15 years of experience in the automobile industry, but now you've taken the wheels off and you're working on boats. What's the story?
That's a fair question. Actually, 60,000 commercial vessels navigating today are engine powered, whatever the fuel they burn. I believe that we need people from the old world to transition to the new world, because it's a transition. Mm. It's not going to happen overnight. For that, we need to understand how it works, how it evolved, and how it will likely transform tomorrow. And, you know, from the automotive industry that has usually been at the forefront of the innovation in the broader transportation space, there are plenty of transfers that we can imagine when it comes to energy transition and CO2 regulation. Just look at what happened with Tesla in the past 10 years. I really believe the same is going to happen to the maritime industry with the CO2 tax schemes that are being put in place as we speak in 2023 by the IMO to be in line with the Paris Agreement and cut the emission by 50% by 2050. The same shift is going to happen. Automation is another great example. The reason why commercial sailing stopped at the end of the 19th century, one of the main reasons was economical reason. The steam engine was just cheaper because you needed about 50 to 100 crew members to navigate with a sailing vessel. As of today, we believe we can navigate those boats with much smaller crew, and imagine that we could even automate sailing, decrease the number of crew. So those are good examples of transfers that we can imagine from other sectors of the transportation industry to sailing. And to end with, personally, I've always been into sailing. And to be honest, there is no such space in transportation where you can actually build a zero carbon service. It was just a no-brainer to me. So I want to ask you, Kat, and our listeners, why would a powertrain engineer decide to go 100% sail now that you have this in mind?
Okay, this is one to ponder. And I'm going to tell you, Michael, you're not the first person who made this transition. And many of our listeners may remember we had John Cooper on not too long ago.
Right.
He's the CEO of Bahr Technologies. He also made this incredible jump, but finds out that it's working very nicely. Now, I'd like to shift gears and ask Francois a few more questions, specifically about the changes in technology and improvements that have made life simpler on board. And when you think about, Francois, the beginning of your life in sailing, what are the biggest changes that you have seen?
A lot of changes, of course. I don't know if it makes life simpler or easier because, you know, I'm a competitor. When you have innovation or you're just trying to use it to go as fast as possible and to try to win race or break record, my target as a sailor and as a competitor is not to make my life more easy. Even if when it's easier, you can push harder and try to go faster. And if I'm looking about the technology that's on our racing boat now, of course, we can talk about electronics, the data we have on board, all things we're recording, the autopilot, which is working perfectly today. And yes, if you just look at the autopilot in a long-term perspective, it changed life for a solo sailor 50 years ago. It was not easy to let the boat sail without the pilot, and now we can trust it, and it's working really well. Still, I have a lot of things to learn, and the biggest change I saw in the last 10 years was flying and foiling. It totally changed our sport. It changed all the game. The speed of the boat is not like plus 1, 2, or 3. Sometimes in some conditions it could be plus 10, 20, 30%. It's huge, the change it brings to our sport. And of course, I'm thinking about the America's Cup in the 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago, and the performance of the boats from the edition just before with a classic monohull to this flying multihull a few years after, going 20, 30 knots faster. It's crazy. If you ask me the biggest innovation or the biggest change that's came in the last 10 years in our sport is foiling and flying. I think it's changing part of the maritime industry. With Vela, it's not something where we're working on. We're not thinking to make a sailing cargo ship fly. Not saying mm-hmm. it's possible one day, maybe, but that's not something who could arrive, I think, in the next few years.
Gentlemen, I'd love to introduce the topic of mer concept, sport, performance, and innovation. What does it mean?
Just to explain a little bit, maybe the story of mer concept. I created mer concept something like 15 years ago. I was a student and I just want to make my passion to be my work and to be an offshore sailor. It was my dream. It was what I was just want to do. And to do it, I need to have this company and to build a team around me. I have a chance to have a sponsor with me, thinking about Massif, insurance company in France that support me to share a dream I have, which was the Vendée Globe. Mer concept started a little bit like this, with the target to imagine a boat, to develop a boat, and to make a boat as fast as possible. And so Mer concept start like this and get a little bit bigger and bigger years after years. Shift after the Vendée Globe in 2012, we shift to the Ultime class with a big multi-hull for Massif in 2013. Then we also work for other skippers and other sponsors. I'm thinking about Charlie Dalin with Apivia, who finished second in the last Rue du Rhum or last Vendée Globe. And we had big success and I'm really happy with this. We won several competitions, but I ask myself the question of the why I was doing this sport. Of course, it was my dream first, and I understand it makes other people dream. And I understand that's one of the why of our offshore sailing, and that's really important. I will say the same as we have sports, other sport, or we have artists, music, movie. All of this brings emotion to the society, and offshore sailing is part of this. But offshore sailing is also mechanical sport. And around me, on my team, we have engineers, we have technical guys, that lot of energy, all of their energy to try to imagine a faster boat or a boat that could be sailed for a solo sailor. I believe that all of this innovation around our boats could be used for the maritime world. And that's what we try to develop in the last, I will say, 5 years. And I'm thinking about making a motorboat fly, because if you fly, for the trimaran, it's very lazartic. When you fly, you use the same sails and you go faster, and that's wonderful. But you can also choose on a motorboat to sail the same speed and to use less energy. And that's, of course, something to develop. And of course, using the sail and the wind, and that's a connection with Vela. Today, offshore sailors are using the wind to sail around the world or across oceans. That's something we forget a little bit in the rest of the maritime world. But I think we have to reuse it on the good way. And I'm totally convinced that's what we have to do with Vela. And Mer concept use this technology we use on offshore sailing to try to make it appropriate for this maritime world, and in this case for Vela.
And a more personal question, Francois. Many of our listeners may or may not know, you have an engineering degree as well. Did you always think that you would require or enjoy learning about those technical skills your entire life, in addition to your life as a sailor?
You know, I will say that to be a sailor, it's helpful to have these technical skills, but you also need to be commercial, because you need to find a sponsor. So I'm an engineer, maybe I'm not as good as other skippers with these skills. What I understand now, after a few years of being a sailor, and it's my job now, it's that you need to be not the best one in every field, but at least to be not too bad, I will say, a little bit everywhere. And I love it. I'm curious, because I love to look a little bit everywhere. That's also what I was doing with my formation as an engineer. I was general engineer, I will say, and that's still what I'm doing now.
Francois, we've learned that Mer concept isn't just focused on its own projects. In 2018, you started supporting other skippers on their endeavors, including one called the 11th Hour Racing Team. And a note for our listeners, the 11th Hour Racing was created in Newport, Rhode Island in 2010. It is an international organization establishing strategic partnerships within the sailing and maritime communities to promote collaborative systemic change benefiting the health of our ocean. Many of our listeners will know that one of our great neighbors here on Governor's Island is the Billion Oyster Project, and 11th Hour Racing is supporting some of their work. But back to you, Francois, can you tell us how your partnership with 11th Hour Racing started and how do you support them?
The fact is that 11th Hour Racing was involved in the Ocean Race. Mm. And then 2018, Ocean Race shift the use of the boat and they use IMOCA class for the next edition. That's just now. Today, they are just in the south of Australia in this big leg in the Southern Ocean. So with Mare Concept, we were just working on Apivia 1 for the Vendée Globe. We were just winner of the Vendée Globe in 2012. So we had skills on this type of boats. And 11 Racing was coming from the Ocean Race. They were on the edition just before, but they didn't have this knowledge or skills with the IMOCA class. So it's how we just meet and think that we can work together for the next edition. It's what we have done. We help them to conceive their boats, which was really interesting for us because we didn't have the knowledge of crew racing and of the ocean race. So it was a challenge for us, a new challenge. It was nice. The connection with 11th Hour Racing was really good. I also discovered this all things they're doing. I am also an ambassador of 11th Hour Racing in France, in the French world, because I love what we're doing, and if I can support all things they're doing, I'm really happy with this.
We'd like to ask you about developing technologies that go faster and greener. We've read that Mare Concept is committed to innovative and sustainable ocean racing and became in 2020 what you would call an entreprise à mission. The equivalent in the US would be a B Corp. Can you tell us about the actions that you're taking to improve sustainability in this area?
If we're talking about the mission, and our mission is, part of our mission is, as I said just before, to bring this innovation from offshore sailing to the maritime world. So that's one of the things we're doing. And of course, also to try to optimize impact we could have on offshore sailing. Just going to a concrete example, big part of our impact on offshore sailing is the construction of our boats. That's most of the time done with carbon fiber. This carbon fiber is a magic material as it's really light, very strong, very stiff, but coming from petrol and having a big carbon impact. CO2 impact, not only carbon. And we working a lot to try to recycle it. We're working a lot also to try to find other materials that could be used instead of carbon. It's a long route because carbon is so efficient at the moment. I was a little bit like, in if you're looking about energy problem, diesel is so efficient that it's difficult to change it. That's one of the challenges that all society is fighting. And in our small offshore world, we have to try to find a solution to use carbons different way. We spend a lot of time, a lot of energy to try to find other materials. I'm thinking about biocomposite, but we're working a lot. It's good. I will say that it could be used on a boat that's using normally fiberglass. We managed to have the same characteristic, mechanical characteristic, and the impact is way better. One of the things we've done in the last years is to think about a mini boat to done with this biocomposite. And we work with Beneteau, which is, of course, one of the biggest company for yachting. They're building this boat now with this biocomposite, and we hope that all the research we have done for offshore sailing with these materials could be used now with a big ship like Beneteau, and probably could be used in the next years for cruising or yachting. And that's part of the job we want to do, part of the transfer we want to do. And Of course, if I'm doing a step a little bit back, trying to do this transfer from offshore to maritime world, Vela is also clearly something great we could do on this transfer, because we believe that we could have a big impact with Vela for decarbonization of the maritime world.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I'd like to ask you more about Le Lab. And this is to accelerate the transition between offshore racing and the maritime industry. Is Le Lab top secret? Can you share with us a few of the projects that you're working on? We've heard through the grapevine about a couple of things, but just want to ask if we can get some inside info here.
Yeah, of course. I talked just before about materials and the things we've done in the lab with Merconcept, with these materials and with biocomposite. And we're working on different things, data management, all the control system to steer or to make a boat fly, all energy, life cycle management. We try to, I will say, doing some research and development in all of this field, and after to make it work in the maritime world. And in concrete project we have done this small catamaran, it's a 40 feet catamaran, electrical boat that's flying, because of all of this work we have done on offshore sailing and with the lab. That's for us one of the good proof of this transfer that could be done from offshore sailing to this Sky City Foiler is day boat, so it's clearly for cruising. And we have worked last month on fast foiling ferry or a CTV crew transfer vessel that's flying. And because it's flying, it's use less energy. Because it uses less energy, we could make it with electrical motorization. We also work on hydrogen stockage. We've worked a lot in the last month, and I hope it will be still developing in the future.
Now, the future is always a word we throw around on this show. Of all of the technologies that you're working with and that you know that your competitors are working with, which ones do you think are really going to be used? Right? And I ask that question because there's a lot of experimentation going on in this space. Sustainability, zero emissions, cleaning up our impact on the oceans. But if you had to place a bet on what you think is going to become more mainstream, something that we're always going to be conscious of, what would you say?
If I'm looking about technology we develop on offshore sailing, to try to make it as simple as possible, I think there's two keys. It's make boat flies and use these foils to fly. Is it mainstream or not? Honestly, I don't know. And I don't know how it will be in the future. But if you're just going to beach now, and if you look about all this small engine, I'm thinking about kite foils, surf foils, tube foils, wing foils. It's just everywhere. And I believe it's already mainstream on the beach, at least. Will it be mainstream for all maritime world? Probably not. It already have a huge development in the last years. And the second key is for me using the wind to move. If I'm looking around, I will say it's not developed enough. Clearly it's not. We should have more sailing boats everywhere. But I strongly believe it will be developed in the next years. I don't know how will be the world in 10, 20 years. But I'm totally convinced that at least to sail far away, to cross Atlantic, to sail around the world, I don't see in the world where we are going how we cannot use the wind. I'm totally convinced that it's the future and it will be everywhere.
I'd like to bring Michael back into the conversation. Michael and Francois, we do want to know everything about Vela, but let's start with the team. We have five very impressive founders. How do you know each other? And the second part of that question is, you guys love fast things. So why are you going into shipping and not a fast ferry as your main project?
Well, it's a long story, actually, but I'll try to keep it short. We know each other from 5 to 20 years within the team.
So you were in preschool then, Michael?
Some of us, yes. Actually, some of us also had been building a first startup, impact startup, together. And I think all of us were willing to step on a new meaningful adventure for the planet, for our children, because we are fathers of 11 kids in the project, very conscious about this. for the ocean that I think was a joint passion for all of us. So it all started with the same vision of basically making the sea the cleanest way to transport goods on the planet without compromising. And from there, we had met with Francois, I think something like 6 years ago, when Massif was our joint financial partner. I was lucky enough to sail with this guy. And I can tell you, I've been listening to him in the first part of the podcast. He's very humble, because when you sail with him on the water, he has some kind of sixth sense for sailing. Obviously, we won that regatta. And I think that from that day, we knew that we had a winning team that we needed to put into execution mode at some point into a bigger project. Well, I believe that we have within the team a complementary background from sailing to retail, to wine and spirits, to the transportation industry, that we have everything to build a disruptive value proposal in this space.
Your vessels will be sailing 100% of the time with a very high level of performance. And yet you are aiming for a reduction of 95% of emissions. This is pretty extreme stuff. How do you not number one, present that? Number two, who believes you? And number three, can any of this be guaranteed?
Why we are having this strong position, maybe an extreme position, is because we believe on this. We have this strong vision and we believe that it's now possible to do 100% sailing and to do freight, maritime freight with boat that is 100% using wind. That's not easy. Yes, we know also this. We know that's a challenge. First, we love challenge, and we strongly believe that whatever happens, it's where we have to go. And we believe that's possible to do it now. Because of different things that's coming now, we have the technology to do it. It's possible. And I will even say it's pretty easy. I mean, using the wind, it's not something new. Of course, we have to reinvent a little bit this to adapt it to the new conditions and to the maritime world as it is now. And we didn't talk about the weather prediction and about routing. Of course, it's not easy to play with the wind. It's what I'm doing when I'm sailing. But the truth is, and it's maybe you asked me also a little bit earlier, what was the evolution in the sailing world in the last 10 or 20 years? It's the weather prediction is so good now that it's pretty easy to find the good routes to cross Atlantic, for example. And we manage now to have a good also prediction to say when we will arrive, which is really important in a logistic perspective. Yeah, it's not easy. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge we want to go. And we believe it's good timing to go on this.
Moving forward, we do understand that you're currently working hard on a design for a larger vessel. We'd like to know if you could tell us more about the size, tonnage, and rigging, and how by observing your competitors and the mistakes of the past and ships that you've sailed on before and you found flaws in them, right? Almost everything that's built has some flaws. What are you doing to eliminate those flaws? And what can you tell us about the vessel right now?
So it's difficult to talk about the vessel as it's not, we're just in the middle of the conception. We're in the middle of the brainstorm, and it's really interesting for us, but it's not finished yet. But what can I say is that we always have to find a good balance, talking about the size, for example, the tonnage we could bring on a boat like this. We know that it's extremely difficult to be 100% using wind on a big boat. I will compare to the biggest cargo ship we have now. We know it's that there doesn't exist rig for this type of boat. Or if we do it, we won't manage to be 100% using sail. It's maybe will be hybrid solution, and it's really interesting that this hybrid project exists, and I think it could have a big impact in the next years. But where we want to go is 100% sailing. So saying this, of course, we need to find a size of boats where we could have technology for rigs that exist and that is, I will say, strong enough to be reliable for the activity we want to do. And of course, if we use two small boats and we have a few pallets on a boat, it's not working. So That's one of the challenges we are now. And I'm thinking the size of the boat is close to thinking about grand sail, tow. I will say boat that's less than 100 meters. It's where we're going now, because we believe that the size that's possible to do now, 100% using wind and being good, efficient and fast enough for what we want to do.
We love to hear it.
If I may add to this, we want to take advantage of those smaller boats. It's true that in the maritime industry, it has always been about having bigger boats, because the more containers you put on the boat, basically the cheaper it is.
Mm.
But as François explained, if you want to go 100% sail, there is no way, at least as of today, you can build a 200 meters long boat. So it will be smaller boats, but we definitely want to take advantage of it, because with smaller boats, we can go to secondary harbors that are not as congested as the main harbors, that are cheaper and that are closest to the factories and the warehouses of our customers. And this for us is also very important, because going zero carbon in the shipping, it doesn't make sense if you have to bring the pallets, the cargo, from the factory to the harbor with a truck and cross Europe, for instance, which is happening right now. If you take the example of cognac, for instance, that is a very popular example in the US, cognac is being produced in France. 97% of it is being consumed abroad. 55% is being consumed in the US. And it is basically shipped from cognac to Rotterdam with trucks, and then with conventional shipping, which obviously doesn't make sense. If we could leave from a harbor across the Atlantic coast of France, that is just about 100 kilometers away from where it's being produced, it makes much more sense. And you have to understand that the CO2 intensity of a truck is 100 times more important than the one of sailing cargo. This is how we want to take advantage of it. And also from a speed perspective, because speed, when it comes to sailing cargo vessels, means frequency. And frequency is of the utmost importance for our shippers. They do have flows of goods that they need to ship across the Atlantic. And it's no way it's going to happen if we have a boat that is crossing the Atlantic every 2 months. We have to go down to every 2 weeks, maybe every week. And this is only possible if you have fast enough boats.
Mm-hmm. Michael, who are your customers? Who is your ideal customer?
It's a good question. Actually, we are today talking to the US community also, because we strongly believe that the France/Europe seaway to the US makes total sense from a commercial perspective. There are so many great brand stories, so many great products from craftsmanship, from luxury, from wine and spirits that are being exported and imported between these two countries. Just know that France is the US third largest trading partner in Europe when it comes to that type of goods. So our ideal customer is a customer that has a serious consciousness for impact and the planet. And to be honest, the more we talk to US customers, the more we can feel the raising consciousness of those stakes, because those global brands are fall into a global competition when it comes to responsible products and shipping. So that's one part of it. A second part is shippers that have good story to tell. It wouldn't make sense, or maybe later in the history, but to ship, you know, like a basic cable with a sailing cargo vessel. But what if you are shipping a great bottle of wine or very handsome bag that has been handmade from the other side of the Atlantic, because there is a unique savoir-faire from this factory, then the story is completely different. So we are really willing to work with these shippers out there.
Well, going to give our audience a great example of one. We know that you associated with Grand Sail, and very recently in December of 2022, you worked with them to have goods delivered to New York City. We thought that was a terrific partnership and a great way to dip your feet into the transatlantic trade. Something unique on that, though, is you chose not to ship goods on containers. You used pallets instead. Now, the port operations of loading and unloading pallets versus containers are different, with economics, time, quite possibly might increase the price of shipping because it takes a little longer to unload and undo a pallet. Is part of that choice connected to that savoir-faire and storytelling?
Part of it, yes. Actually, part of it is just common sense. A container weighs about 3 tons. So using containers means that you are basically carrying 30% approximately of your cargo that is just dead iron. And you don't want this on a fast sailing vessel. You really want to carry only the cargo, and pallets is a great way to do this. Another, I would say, advantage of pallets is that they are safely locked into the hold, such as in an aircraft. And actually, our customers are very familiar with air shipping. We believe it makes sense to bring a higher safety to have the cargo not on the deck, but rather into the hold. I would say, finally, there must be some kind of fair price. You're talking about economics to be paid for responsible transportation. Containers has been the unit logistics for the past years, obviously, in the maritime transportation. But we believe in a world where we will slowly slow down operations, maybe rationalize our trade. And this is all going into the direction of using a smaller unit that can be handled in any harbor on the planet. And all this go into the direction of using pallets.
Michael and Francois, there's a lot of French companies exporting luxury goods to the US on sailing vessels. Wines, perfumes, cognacs. Do you think it's connected to that spirit of innovation? Why do you think it's French companies specifically making this decision? Do you think part of it is also driven by regulation?
Maybe so, because it looks like so logical for at least us, our perspective in with Vela. Not just logical where we are now in 2023 with all the knowledge we have and this product and the quality of these products. Yeah, that's, I will say that's just logical to bring it to America with a sailing vessel. Mm-hmm. And if it's so logical for us, maybe it's start to be logical for this charger and also for customers at the end of the line. Not saying it's easy, but at least it looks like it's logical on my perspective.
Right.
Yeah, totally. And if I may add to this, you mentioned regulation, Kate. We believe that the regulation will, in the end, shift the maritime industry towards sailing. The IMO and the European Commission are right now putting in place those tax scheme for carbon emissions that will obviously increase the price of the container. As of today, we're talking about $100 per container, so about 3 to 5% of the spot price, which is obviously not much, but it will increase progressively, like it always doing in any sector. And that will progressively shift towards sailing, where we're basically cutting the carbon emissions. So we're not concerned, and those tax don't apply to sailing cargo companies. The other factor is the price of the oil. You know, in conventional maritime, the price is adjusted by the bunker factor. We know there is no way that the oil price is going to go down in the long term. When we look at it, like the price of the ton of ship fuel has doubled since the Ukraine war, and it will obviously continue to grow. So in the end, we believe that this will shift towards sailing, and sailing needs wind. And as Francois explained, the great news is that there is wind in the Atlantic. So that's obviously one of the big reasons why we believe this seaway makes sense. The other one is, as we mentioned, the ideal customer, we believe, is in this seaway because of the type of goods, because of the brand stories, because of the consciousness about the stake of carbon emission. And actually, on this, I'd like to ask you as an American yourself, Kate, do you see this rising, this carbon consciousness from the other side of the Atlantic?
In New York City, it's everywhere. Shop local, the last mile, and the messages we receive from marketers, grocery stores, all kinds of goods, they're around us. Whether people are accepting the message and really taking it to heart is a different story, right? If you look in New York City, you still see Amazon trucks on almost every block bringing goods to someone's home, right? That's probably not the most sustainable way to buy the products that you need in your life. Let's put it this way. There's always early adopters, and the early adopters are the people who really become influencers for the rest of us.
Exactly. So we need to find those early adopters. And if you are listening to us today, please reach out and let's build this together.
Gentlemen, I want to ask you about financing. From the guests that we've had on this program before, we know that financing a sailing cargo vessel is a long and difficult journey. A lot of the ship owners, shipbuilders, and those who provide financing sometimes just think the old ways are best. Global shipping is not always known as the most nimble, forward-thinking industry. How are you obtaining financing? And do some of the luxury brands that you work with, are they supplementing that for you as well?
So it is surprising, but not totally random that in France, many projects are popping up these past years. It is because the whole ecosystem has came into place with banks, with shipyards, with even the state that is backing the building of those sailing cargo vessels. All the skills and willingness of these sailors and everyone involved in the maritime supply chain. So as of today, it's actually very interesting how the access to capital has been made, I would say, easier. I wouldn't say easy, but easier for French ship owners to build those sailing cargo vessels. And we are definitely leveraging on this to build the relationship with the banks, with the investors. And that's the beauty of it. Like most of the vessel is financed by a so-called tax lease that brings a benefit to the bank and mechanically reduces the cost of the ship for the French ship owners. So for the investors, it's a great leverage to rely on to finance those vessels, because actually you put a few in equity and you get a big leverage in debt to finance those vessels. The key then is to reinsure all the financial stakeholders on our ability as a ship owner to, of course, fulfill the capacity of the vessel. So to build long-term contract and long-term commitments with the brands, with the shippers, and then to assemble the right skills around the building of that vessel to make sure that it will perform as expected.
Now, speaking of that performance, there's a lot to be built. And we know right across from your building in beautiful Concarneau, there is the celebrated shipyard known as Pirieu. Pirieu recently signed contracts to build Grand Sail, their second boat, and two boats for Tote. These boats are going to be built in steel, and they're going to have traditional rigging, schooners with a soft sail. What do you envision for the first Vela? Will it look similar, or are we going to see some surprises?
Again, difficult to talk about it as we're just working on it. We didn't take final decisions. But what I will say is it's good to find a balance in between using what's already working and, of course, trying to innovate for this new cargo ship and to try to find solution that's, bring more performance and also that's easy to sail for the crew. So that's the work we were doing now, trying to find a good balance in between this solution. I will say a conservative solution with a technology that already exists and has been already approved. Then also looking a little bit in the future, and there is so many things that's done now to trying to find a new solution to use this energy of the wind and to bring it to a boat. I'm sorry, I don't have a scoop or something to say now, but what I will say that is every options are open now. And it's also possible that the first Vela cargo ship could be with classic rigging. We could have on our mind also to change it after a few years when this technology will be more mature. and reliable. Maybe it's something we have in our head to make this change of ringing possible during the life of the boat, because we are working on a boat that could be used for 20, 30, 40 years. And it's quite difficult to know what will be efficient in 30, 40 years. And for sure, this rigging part will be changing in the next years.
Mm-hmm. We know that you're part of the Cluster Maritime Française. Would you also consider joining the International Windship Association?
We did. We are actually a member of the French Windship. And as such, we are already officially supporter of the AWSA. And honestly, I'm seizing the opportunity to say hi to Gavin.
Oh, great.
He's doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, doing an amazing job in evangelizing this international community about the stakes of, in general, sailing transportation and low carbon transportation. We believe this is really a necessary job because the task is immense and it is a systemic problem. Global shipping is very, very international. It's not like France is going to do it on its own, right? Mm-hmm. So those associations, we believe, are really key in bringing the global community together. And I love the way Christian De Buckler put it in your podcast. He says, it's such a global community, maritime shipping, and the solutions are so obvious that if we can't tackle the transition of this industry, there is no way we will succeed in fighting climate change. So really, I believe all this energy coming together in those associations are showing us the way to go, and they should keep up the good work, mm-hmm. for sure.
It's important to remember that we are just new in this world, maybe not in offshore sailing, at least on my side, but Vela is a new company, and it's way more easy to do what we're doing now that other company did 10 years ago. And we have to try to integrate in this maritime sailing world as smart as possible and to help also all of this field, because as Michael said just before, this big challenge that we all have in front of us is so big that there won't be one guy who have one solution will manage to do it. It will be some, I will say, collective efforts that we need to join our force to try to make this challenge possible and real.
We've reached that special time where we offer our guests the open floor. This is your time to look into your crystal ball, promote something you're working on, share a special memory of your time out on the sea and a racing victory. Tell us about a new pet that you have. Gentlemen, the floor is yours. Tell us everything that's on your mind.
I can start if you want, Michael. We talk a lot about this cargo ship using sails. We have a big, big challenge in front of us for our society. And at least what we're talking about is a question about mobility and how we move us, people, on the world, and also how we use stuff that's coming far away. I will say first, and it's really important that we don't forget to ask ourselves if its mobility is fair. And honestly, it's probably more philosophical question, and I don't have the answer, but I strongly believe that we have to reduce our mobility. But I strongly believe also that this is important to have mobility. I don't want to live in a world where we're stuck and we can't travel a little bit. I don't want to live in a world where I cannot share things with people where you live. I mean, I'm happy to eat chocolate, and I imagine that cacao won't grow up in France in the next years. I grew up in a part of France where we are doing the cognac, and I'm really happy to share this cognac with you people all over the world. Of course, we have to question the quantity of this. Maybe I'm okay to eat less chocolate. I'm okay to not use as much as I use things coming from the other part of the world. But honestly, if we can do something, and I'm thinking now as a sailor, if we can help try to make this mobility possible in a future where there is no fossil fuels, yeah, we have to do this. We have to try at least. And I will say, as a sailor, we know how to sail and cross Atlantic or sail around the world. That's not easy to bring tons of stuff or to bring even people to travel with us. But we have to try. It's what I want to do. It's just a small step, but I want to try this. And I hope I will ask all sailors around to help us to manage to do it.
Michael, anything on your mind?
Sure. As you pointed out at the beginning of our conversation, I started as an ICE engineer. So as we called it, ICE for internal combustion engine engineer. By the time 15 years ago, I wasn't as aware as I am today that we passed the peak oil and that oil is causing climate change. This is, as of today, proven and well known. So my personal view is that 100 years from now, there will probably still be oil on the planet. But because we passed the peak oil and because it's causing climate change, there is today an urgency to stop burning those old dinosaur bones whenever, wherever, and however it's possible. And I believe that sailing transportation is just a great example of this. Wind is abundant, is reliable, predictable, and free. So it's just a no-brainer for us. Overall, the world, our world, needs to slow down a little bit. You were mentioning the example of the crazy last-mile logistics that are happening in our big cities today. We believe in smaller vessels. We believe in local communities with human at core. This is definitely what we stood up to achieve at Vela. But the thing is, we can't make this alone. We need the shippers, we need the brands, we need the freight forwarders. So we invite all of them, all this maritime community, to come and hoist the sail with us. So please, you're welcome aboard.
That was one of the best conclusions and open floors we have ever had. Gentlemen, I congratulate you. We have been speaking with François Gebhard, a professional sailor, and on today's show, talking about his role as the founder of Mer Concept and co-founder of Vela. Michael Fernandez-Ferry, he is an impact entrepreneur, and he is also here speaking to us as a co-founder of Vela, managing director. Well, we know you manage so much, and we're delighted that you managed to make a bit of time for us today. Thank you again for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to the show this week. If you're not already subscribed, please sign up to Hoisting the Sail wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, visit Windsupport NYC on LinkedIn. Write to us at podcast@windsupport.nyc.